Welcome to the Firehouse Strength and Conditioning Podcast, where we discuss strength and conditioning and its place in the fire service. I'm Eric Haskins, and I'm a professional firefighter and strength and conditioning coach. Enjoy the show. Season 1, Episode 1. This is going to be all about the program, Firehouse Strength and Conditioning. Now, you can find this program at Train Heroic, under the same title, Firehouse Strength and Conditioning, or you can find it, check out our new website, firehousestrengthandconditioning.com, and that'll give you all the details as well as offer you a free week trial to dive in and see if it's what you're looking for. But today we're going to kind of talk more in depth and look into each kind of piece of this and really explain what Firehouse Strength and Conditioning is. Now, if you go on Train Heroic, you can read the description. It states, Firehouse Strength and Conditioning is a training program designed specifically for firefighters that can be implemented in most firehouse gyms around the country. The primary objective of this program is to raise the level of our performance to meet the true demands of the job and the expectations of the citizens we serve. Utilizing the conjugate method, this program is intended to build maximal strength, develop explosive power, and increase work capacity, fitness, and preparedness while simultaneously reducing the risk of injury commonly experienced in the line of duty. So why are those our objectives? Well, if we look at NFPA 1592, it lists 13 essential job tasks. I'll go ahead and I'll read them now. Wearing personal protective ensemble and SCBA, performing firefighting tasks, hose line operations, extensive crawling, lifting, and carrying heavy objects, ventilating roofs or walls using power or hand tools, forceful entry, rescue operations, and other emergency response actions under stressful conditions, including working in extremely hot or cold environments for prolonged time periods. Looking at those 13 essential job tasks, now it would make sense why our objectives or goals are what they are. The demands of a fireground require such things as maximal strength. So whether you're lifting heavy objects, rescuing a downed firefighter, maximal strength is going to make the difference in whether you're able to get that job done. Furthermore, the more we can increase your maximal strength, the lighter the loads will become relative to it. If we look at explosive power or the ability to rapidly increase force, we see this in forcible entry or things like throwing ladders, making the push down a hallway. Anything that requires us to rapidly produce force is going to require explosive power. Next, work capacity. Work capacity is the general ability of the body as a machine to produce work of different intensity and duration using the appropriate energy systems of the body. Much of what we do requires or elicits metabolic stress on our bodies. This creates great stress on our heart as well as our musculature. And so the ability to have work capacity in many different domains, whether it is short duration, high intensity bursts, or if it's withstanding a long incident, your work capacity is an essential job task and quality. Next, we're looking at fitness, the specific ability to use work capacity to execute a given task under particular conditions and cope with the demands efficiently and safely. When we are thinking about fitness, we're looking at the qualities. So whether you're fit for duty, do you contain or have the necessary qualities at the necessary level to withstand the demands of the fireground? Preparedness, or one's ability to express fitness at any instant, is what makes us first responders. So we don't know what the next task is going to be, when that next call is going to come in. So we have to be prepared and have the ability to express those qualities at any instant. And finally, injury prevention. We know that injuries come at a high rate in the fire service. So we need a program that is going to create a hedge against the most common injuries we see, not only so that we can be better prepared, show up and complete the task, but that so that you can enjoy a long career that isn't filled with light duty, time away from work, time away from doing those things that you like to do off duty, filled with surgeries or worse, incurring an injury that would cause early retirement or even death. Next, we'll take a look at, you know, why it's called Firehouse Strength and Conditioning. What makes it unique, how it stands out from different tactical programs and other stuff that's out there. But as we look at each kind of portion of it, it'll help to explain, you know, how we intend to reach our goals and the different methods that we're going to use to do so. So starting with the title, Firehouse just refers to this is a program designed for firefighters, by firefighters to be done in their firehouse. So taking into account, you know, what limited equipment most of us have, that could just be a squat rack, a barbell, some bumpers, dumbbells, limited cardio equipment. So maybe it's a treadmill, a rower, stair mills are also common. Assault bike, if you're lucky, we love that piece of equipment. So having an air bike variation. And then, you know, we're big fans of the sled as well. But that's really it when it comes to the equipment that we're building this program around, taking into account what most of you have available to you in the firehouse, and or taking this to your local gym, you know, any sort of 24-hour big box gym, you can take this program and get it done there for sure if you've got a membership somewhere. Next is diving into strength. Strength is defined as the maximal force that a muscle or muscle group can generate at a specified velocity. Now, the force velocity curve shows that there is an inverse relationship between force and velocity, meaning where an increase in force would cause a decrease in velocity and vice versa. Now, this defines or kind of shows us what our strengths or special strengths are. So there's not just one strength, there's multiple. So at one end of this continuum is maximum strength, and that is high force, low velocity. Now, on the other end is what we're talking about is speed, where we're looking at maximum velocity, but low force. Now, all up and down that curve, we have different strengths from strength speed, peak power, speed strength, and down. So it's important to note that when we're trying to develop strength or take this holistic approach, is we want to move this whole curve together versus just working on one end or the other. For our goals, as the demands of the job, is we want to address all of those strengths versus just one. Now, according to the NSCA, generally, muscle force is greater when more motor units are involved in the contraction, meaning stronger, the rate of firing is faster, meaning faster, or the motor units are greater in size, being bigger. So bigger, faster, stronger. Maybe that rings true to some of you, maybe high school football days. Remember the program, bigger, faster, stronger. In general, that is how we can increase strength. Now, each one of these can kind of define our methods or our approach. So if we want to get stronger or want more motor units involved, then we need a method that is going to cause that adaptation. Or, you know, if you know about the SED principle, specific adaptation to impose demands, that's going to bring us to our first method, which is the max effort method. Quite simply, the max effort method is lifting a maximal load. So what is a maximal load? We're looking at anything that is 90% or above. Loads at 90% or above is what's going to cause maximal motor unit recruitment. Now, if we want to improve the rate of firing, we would use a different method. That method's called the dynamic effort method. That is lifting a non-maximal load with the highest attainable speed. This improves the rate of force development and explosive strength. That addresses that second kind of generalization of becoming faster, or the rate of firing is faster. And then the final one is getting bigger. So how do we make the muscles bigger or increase their size? Well, this method, which everyone's probably familiar with, is called the repetition method. The repetition method is lifting a non-maximal load to failure or near failure. This, or the adaptation that happens here, is this is what stimulates muscle hypertrophy. Most of us, I'll speak for myself, this is how we grew up lifting, right? So everything was 5x5s, 3x8s, 4x10s. the repetition method was really all I knew, you know, in my younger years. And it wasn't until later on going to school that and reading a lot of books is that, you know, I started to learn about these other methods that were really being left off the table. And this is kind of where the use of the conjugate method comes in for us, and this is why we use the conjugate method. Now, there's a lot of, you know, definitions of the conjugate method or conjugate system, but I think the easiest one to understand is the conjugate method is a method of training that brings together all aspects of training at the same time. It's where the various components of strength are developed in conjunction with one another. So instead of just working on one specific strength, we're utilizing a system that is going to develop all these strengths in conjunction with one another. Meaning that throughout the training week and the training cycle, we are utilizing the max effort method to increase our maximal strength. We're utilizing the dynamic effort method to increase our explosive power. And then we use the repetition method, which most are familiar with. This is where we address our weaknesses, or we address, you know, high risk areas where we see common injuries in the fire service. And by using the repetition method this way, we can address these lagging areas, isolate weak muscles, and strengthen them by increasing their size so that they contribute more to our bigger compound lifts, while creating a hedge against injury in those most commonly injured areas. So that kind of wraps up at least our basic, you know, approach to our strength training. And now on to conditioning. Now, one of my favorite probably definitions of this I got from Gus over at Westside Barbell. And conditioning defined as to place in a desired state. Now, the desired state for the fire service is one that allows us to continue to work for required time without lowering the quality of the work. This is the ability to counter fatigue. And our work capacity is the general ability of the body as a machine to produce work of different intensity and duration using the appropriate energy systems of the body. So to try to simplify this, strength and conditioning really comes down to this. Strength is the heavy stuff and conditioning is the sweaty stuff. When it comes to tactical populations and especially firefighters, you know, our goal is really, you know, capacity over demand, meaning we want our capacity to exceed the demands of the fire ground. That means our conditioning needs to address everything from short, hard and fast to long and slow. We need to develop that full engine or all the gears so that regardless of what is called or demanded of you, that you have trained in a way that's not the first time you're seeing it and that your body can handle it. So our conditioning is going to be just that. It's going to be varied. It's going to be, you know, if I were to break down in simple terms, if we want to go, you know, short, high intensity, we're looking at a 5-minute time domain. Moderate, so that kind of medium range, still pretty high intensity, but a little bit longer, we're looking anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes. And then on the longer side of things, where the intensity is coming down, but for that long duration work capacity, now we're looking at 15, 20 minutes, you know, the full duration of what, you know, maybe a common SCBA would be on the fire ground. Conditioning workouts are going to take in as many different movement patterns and planes of motion as we can, utilizing the different energy systems, and it's going to look varied so that we hit all of these targets. So hard and fast, long and slow, above our head, out in front of us, whether we're squatting, lunging, pressing, pulling, hinging, our conditioning workouts are going to take the movements that are commonly used on the fire ground at the intensities commonly used or experienced, and we're putting those in to short, medium, and long pieces to drive the type of adaptation that we're looking for. So if we were to kind of return to, you know, our list of objectives that we talked about in the beginning, we've got maximal strength, explosive power, and work capacity. We're achieving those through the max effort method for maximal strength, the dynamic effort method for explosive power, and then using strength and conditioning to address our work capacity, being, you know, work capacity developed through conditioning and metabolic stress. Now what's left is fitness, preparedness, and injury prevention. So fitness is the specific ability to use work capacity to execute a given task under particular conditions and cope with the demands efficiently and safely. So the difference between maybe fitness and work capacity is work capacity, we're looking at the metabolic stress of the fire ground, and fitness, we're looking more at the qualities themselves. Now there's plenty of lists of qualities, but you know, probably my favorite is taking a look at the 10 general physical skills. This is from, you know, the guys, if you've seen the wall balls, the Dynamax wall balls, came up with this list, and I really like the approach and how I break up the different qualities. So the qualities being cardiovascular, respiratory endurance, stamina, strength, flexibility, power, speed, coordination, agility, balance, and accuracy. So when designing our conditioning workouts, we're looking at trying to improve all of those qualities. There isn't one single quality as a firefighter that probably takes precedence over the other. I think we can all agree that all 10 of those qualities are needed on the fire ground. And if you want to have the conversation of, you know, fit for duty, you are as fit for duty as you are competent in each of these 10 skills as they pertain to the occupation of firefighting. Any deficiency in one of these qualities is going to be a red flag or an area that is going to be high risk of injury. And another way to look at it is like building your own kind of player on a video game. So if you played those EA Sports games where you can create yourself, you know, of course, most of you probably, you know, do 100% in all of those qualities, right? The Bo Jackson, perfect of Tecmo Bowl. But if I were to give you 10 points to place across all 10 of these general skills, which ones would you place those points in? Knowing that you've only got 10 points, are there any areas that you would leave out? If you do, say, not put any points in one of those areas, that is going to be a high risk of injury. And if you look across those 10, none of those to me are negotiable. We need to be able to address all of those. Now, a firefighter-specific program develops fitness to the extent that it improves each of these 10 skills in the context of the demands of the job. Being fit for duty means having the capacity to meet the demands regardless of the task. The task is determined by the citizens we serve when they call for us. While it's their emergency, it's our duty to show up, perform, and mitigate it. Having a deficiency in any one of those 10 general skills will not only lead to us showing up unprepared, but it'll also lead to us showing up and placing us in a high risk of injury and hopefully not death. To create a hedge against possible injury or death, we need some sort of injury prevention built into our program. Now, injuries occur when a tissues, say muscle, bone, ligament, strength can't handle the load being applied, meaning demands exceed capacity. And I look into some studies, we can easily identify where those high priorities are. Probably one of my favorite studies conducted by Dr. David Frost is knees, back, and shoulders, not just a fire ground problem. So this study examined the injuries sustained by the Calgary Fire Department between 2007 and 2011. And what the study found was that the most common injuries, I know it's going to surprise you, were the back, knees and ankles, and shoulders. Furthermore, irrespective of job duty, 70% of all back injuries were related to lifting, bending, and squatting, 81% of all knee injuries were associated with lunging and stepping, and 99% of all shoulder injuries were attributed to pushing and pulling. So now looking at that sort of information, it can further help guide us in the measures that we need to take to prevent injuries. So we need our program to incorporate lifting, bending, and squatting, lunging and stepping, and pushing and pulling. Avoiding these types of movements aren't going to save us. In fact, if we avoid these movements for the sake of, you know, fear of injury, we are not going to address them, and they're going to be huge holes in our game And if the fire ground demands that we have to do this, this is where we're going to run into that catastrophic injury. So how do we address it? Well, one, in our strength and conditioning, we are going to be utilizing all of these movement patterns to try to strengthen them and also to create movement integrity by utilizing them in our conditioning. So our conditioning specifically targets these movement patterns under duress. We're going to create stress. Maybe we're trying to go fast. Maybe we're breathing heavy. We're starting to sweat. Volume is accumulating. We utilize conditioning outside of our strength work to stress these positions in a safe and controlled environment so that we can hold up under the demands of the fire ground when we get out there. So now kind of piecing it all together is, what does this program look like and how do we accomplish these objectives? So within each session, you're going to have a strength-specific portion where we are isolating, you know, those big muscle groups, and we are trying to get stronger utilizing the methods that we discussed. It'll then be followed up with conditioning. Now we're using common fire ground movements, using, you know, common equipment found in your gym to stress these positions and kind of ride that threshold, or, you know, what some people might call a speed wobble, where we're not going so fast so that we have huge mechanical breakdown. But if we want to create an adaptation so that they can hold up to stress, we must be bumping up against that threshold of what is, what we can maintain, especially if we're in gear or we're breathing heavy or the volume is accumulating and we're starting to generate fatigue. And then after our conditioning, we're going to wrap with some accessories. Now, these accessories is really where we, you know, dive into weak muscle groups. We do some of our injury prevention work and we isolate them to kind of bring those lagging muscle groups up. This is where you're going to find that repetition method is really advantageous to us to accomplish those goals. Throughout the week, you're going to have 3 to 4 strength and conditioning sessions with one peer conditioning session that might be a little bit longer or slightly unique as compared to the other sessions. So this might look like a partner workout, a team workout, maybe you're in gear, but having that peer conditioning session that might be a little bit longer and address some of those other areas that we ran into time constraints earlier in the week. Utilizing Train Heroic, or our app, each of these sessions will be programmed on a specific day, but that doesn't mean that that's the day that you have to do them. You know, most of our members that are using this have different shift schedules or have different availability to equipment. So it makes it very easy to move a session, you know, up a day or back a day so that it best fits your schedule and what you have available to you. If you're interested in learning more, you can visit our website at firehousestrengthandconditioning.com. You can also find us on Train Heroic. The program is called Firehouse Strength and Conditioning, or you can reach out to us via Instagram or email at brotherhoodandtraining.com. And finally, you can just check out the program. It's got a 7-day free trial, and if it's what you're looking for, it's just $20 a month after that. So thanks for listening in to this first episode. This was just kind of a brief summary of what we got going on, what the program's all about, maybe a little in-depth dive into the methods to the madness. Keep an eye out. We're going to be doing more episodes. We've got a great lineup of guests coming, everything from diving in to more strength, more about the conjugate system, and then also things like aerobic capacity, nutrition, how to address, improving culture of fitness in your department. And then we'll do some kind of AMAs, ask me anything, where we'll take listener questions and we'll try to address kind of, you know, what else you guys got going out there, and try to have a good conversation about strength and conditioning in the fire service. Let us know what you think of the episode. Maybe you've got more questions, hit us up, give us a rating. If you liked it, share it with your friends and help us kind of continue this conversation. We look forward to future episodes. Until then, train hard, train often, and always make sure that your capacity exceeds the demands of the fire ground. See you later.